WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our programming here brought to you, of course, by the businesses of local Baltimore people. And Leonard Raskin is one of the many, many people I've collected around here through sports. And I remember back, I've known you long enough, back when the All-Star Game mattered. You know, I mean, this whole week, it's been interesting because, like, for Oriole fans, right, and you're one of them, I'm one of them, there, you know, some NBA, but there's football's not here, hockey's done, like all of that. I find it interesting that on Monday night, it felt like everyone was watching Trey Mancini, right? Not just Orioles fans, but like there was a real human story there that the Orioles haven't done much beyond the means no hitter here to get anybody interested. But I think we were all watching on Monday and Tuesday, which was nice.
Yeah, it was excellent. He had a great night. I mean, he, like you said, it was a national story, not just a local story. And what's surprising to me, just in our usual vein of what are the Orioles doing, I don't think they promoted it enough here. He got major pub national, like you said, and then to go on to the finals of the Home Run Derby was extraordinary. He was crushing those balls out there in Colorado, and big national story. And then during the All-Star Game, when they do the signs, the Stand Up for Cancer, you had a couple guys holding his stuff up. I think it would have been interesting if he'd have been in the game or at least on the field for that. I didn't see him there for that, but the Home Run Derby was astonishing.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a baseball fan at heart. One of the things that really bothers me is that I don't put the Orioles games in my calendar anymore. They're not part of my destination. They're not where I am. They're not where anybody I need to be for my audience or whatever. When I talk to other people, I'd like for that to change. You know, we talk about things like during the plague that were taken away. And now I've been to New York to see Springsteen. I know you've been down to the beach with your family. People are doing normal things again. And we have this vaccine issue and mask and numbers are trending again. So I think there should be some concern about that. But when this pandemic ends, you want to go back to that blanket, that safety blanket of the things you love doing and the things you couldn't do last year. Baseball's one of those things that, like, when it's done right, it's phenomenal. Then you put the All-Star game on and they're wearing Good Humor uniforms. They look like pajamas. I mean, what are they doing? I mean, they make such poor decisions. They really do. And that's not me being ultra critical. That's just me being 53 and wanting to love it. And they can't get out of their own way with bad decisions.
Yeah, I could get by the uniforms. I'm not real worried about that. I hear you. They did look like pajamas. But
you're a traditional guy. You are.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to see? You want to see them each wearing their home uniforms or something? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
baseball uniforms are beautiful, I think. I mean, right. I tell you what, when you start sharing the old 70s and 80s team pictures at the All-Star game, people were doing that last week. And I'm like, you know, seeing that Astros jersey next to that old Reds jersey next to a Pirates, you know, yellow, like, those were old school. They meant something. They were part of what still makes us fans 40 years later, I think.
Yeah, right? if they were gonna wear pajamas, they could have worn the old uniform looking pajamas. They could have done that. I'm with you. Each player could have worn their team jerseys. I think that makes sense. I don't know why they have to have an All-Star jersey, but that's what they want. And my hunch is, what was it? Spaceballs, right? Spaceballs. It was merchandising. They want to sell the All-Star jerseys, and there's enough people out there going to buy them. Let's face it, the Colorado.
It's my wife's favorite movie, by the way, Spaceballs. I've never seen
movie.
It, but that's funny. I know that
come
scene.
Come on. You got to see it. Spaceballs de Lunchbox. It's just the best. The flamethrower. The kids love that one. It's a great
They don't
movie.
Make them like that anymore, do they?
No. Well, they can't. They can't. You think they could make, what is it?
Blazing Saddles? God.
No. Yeah, Blazing Saddles. They're not making that. Oh my goodness, Archie Bunker. You couldn't.
Oh, you couldn't make All in the Family now. No.
You couldn't have All in the Family on TV. But anyway, they want to sell those jerseys. And from the looks of the Colorado Stadium, man, that place was sold out for the Home Run Derby. It was sold out for the game. So somebody's interested. And then locally, I saw they did a promotion. This was pretty interesting. The O's did a promotion based on how far Trey Mancini got in the Derby. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
So 70% off tickets for a game coming up against the Nationals because he got to the finals. So I went online. I talked to the family. I said, let's go to a game. And I clicked in the button and I was shocked. The only tickets available were in the upper deck, left field, outfield seats.
Well, those were like the discounted seats, right?
Yeah, I assumed the whole stadium was discounted.
Well, no? That's an assumption. These are the Orioles. I've made assumptions before. Has never been normal around here for 28 years.
Okay, so they said 70% off. So I went on. I figured we'd grab a few club tickets.
Did you not get them?
No, because the only thing they had was $9 seats in the upper deck, outfield, left field. I'm like, I'm not sitting up there to go watch a game. No, I'm not going to do that. So that was all that was there.
You went to buy tickets and didn't buy them.
Correct.
You're their worst nightmare then. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't looked to buy a ticket. Least I could do if I looked to buy a ticket, actually buy a ticket. But hey, last week I saw
that game is sold out.
Well, they gave away those Hawaiian shirts last weekend, right? So you want to talk some Orioles baseball? Because I live here and I haven't been anywhere other than here for the most part. I saw everybody picking the shirts up and leaving before the game starts and the weather, it's hot, whatever. People like free stuff, right? I mean, you and I talk about value, and we talk about Raskin Global and saving money and all this stuff. Saving money or the perception of getting something free, the giveaways are still for their audience. The giveaways bring people out. Now, your was more like, well, if they'll let me in if I can get a club seat for $20, I'll go, right? That's what you were thinking, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's Jim Palmer bobblehead night. So you get a 30% ticket and a Jim Palmer bobblehead.
Oh, that's why. That's the scam. So you bought in. They're scam. I mean, see, I don't even know about this, but they've already scammed you or misled you, which is what they've been. Leonard, I used to have to go on the radio after they would do this stuff and take phone calls from you and guys like you all day long saying they offered me tickets at 1983 prices. And I went on it must be sold out. Then you get out there and there's, 18,000 people and you realize it was just they wanted to take 1,000 tickets, make a bunch of people come, sell 1,000. And that look, whatever they do, they can keep doing. They're not getting my money at this point. But I do find it fascinating whenever they have these premium games, these premium nights. And Marty Conway and I talk about this all the time. They're charging you for the bobblehead. Like, you're not getting the bobblehead for free. The $18 ticket's a $24 night. The $6 goes towards the bobblehead. And voila, that's turning a night with a horrific baseball team, right? That's turning a night that would be a zero into an 18,000 or 22,000, a decent night for them, not a 48,000. But the Nationals alone should pack the stadium, right? Like, I mean, and that they're might playing be the what Nationals, it is. Right?
That might be what it is. I mean, that could be. But I was going to go, and I said, let's log on. And $9 for the upper deck outfield, left field. I said, nah, it's not. I'm not sitting out there for that.
I had my buddy Mike Bellani on from Buffalo. He was the original guy that helped get the stadium built up there. Had him on talking Blue Jays and Bills and Toronto and, just the whole Western New York thing. And I've known him for 30 years. He was on the Today Show last week when Harry Smith went up and did his little piece. He's like a Buffalo historian, right? A little bit of a John Zeman, but more than that, he ran the minor league team there. He was the general manager of the Bisons back in the day when they were trying to get the teams that went to Tampa and Miami and Denver. Talking 30 years ago, right? So he wants to come in for a game, and Rasig, who's my dear artist friend and, Mr. Buffalo himself, Creep actually rooted for the Bills over the Ravens. I mean, he had the audacity to admit it to me after all these years. But we want to do a game, and we're talking about during the Crab Cake Tour, and Shohei Ohtani is here, right? And the dates. I got the dates because I have my Crab Cake Tour. This is my Crab Cake Tour folder. I've gone back to and you can see it's blue like a crab. You like that? Is that
there
interesting?
You go.
So I have my dates here. It's the 24th, 5th, and 6th of August. I think the 24th is what we're going to do. I don't know if Ohtani's going to pitch or not. I mean, whatever. I hope he's healthy and hits 3 home runs. I mean, does it matter, right? I just hope the weather's good and the company's good. But I really think I'm going to go to an Oriole game to see Ohtani play on the 24th. there was a rumor Joe Maddon was going to have a crab cake with me on the tour. We haven't worked that out. Maybe do a late night crab cake. I don't know. Maybe I'll take him over.
There you
go. Take him over to the Sip and Bite or something later. But the 24th, I think we might go, because to your point, you want to have a reason to go. If it's getting a bobblehead, if it's getting a t-shirt, if it's 70% off and you want a good seat, well, whatever the reason would be, for me, it's Ohtani. And I think watching the All-Star game the other night, right? He's the biggest story. He's something you got to see, right? You got to tell your kid you saw him. It's like Babe Ruth or something.
Absolutely. It would be worth seeing him in the stadium. I'd go to see Scherzer pitch, you know, what the heck? You got to see these guys play some ball. And I think the O's could play it up. I don't know where they are now or next week or whatever it is, but when they get back, I don't think they open here. I think they open on the road. But when they get back, man, they should be Mancini and the heck out of that place. Mullins and Mancini, big story. They should be playing it up in a big way. I think it was the day before the All-Star game, they sat him, right? The last day of the season, he sat, came in, hit a ninth inning game-tying home run. That was pretty special. then went off.
No, I think he didn't do his point to the outfield before he hit it.
That's right. Then he went off to the home run derby, made it to the finals. You know, Mullins had a nice showing in the game, couple good plays. Some
touch the plate.
Legged out a big hit, touched the plate. Yep. And I think to myself, okay, we're coming back. We should be promoting the heck out of those two guys.
Well, we're promoting the heck out of those two guys.
You That's right. We're taking care of it.
I got to ask you this, because I went to the worst press conference I've ever attended on Thursday. Congratulations, Baltimore Soccer. They had a press conference on the turf. It was 110 degrees at 11:30 in the morning, and we all melted, and they're trying to get the World Cup here.
Right.
I believe they're trying. I believe we're qualified. I believe I'm Baltimore positive. I love our place. I think that, and I will say it out loud. It's the first time I've said it. If we get 5 World Cup games here in 2026, it would be, I don't want to say the greatest thing that's ever happened, because it's like, it's dealing with FIFA and they're criminals and there's all this sex trafficking stuff they're making people do because they were too busy being a mafia of their own doing all sorts of stuff, right? Like you know, they're just killing people over in Qatar building stadiums, and now they're worried about sex trafficking children all the way because they're good people, the FIFA people. They're good people. I mean, they're creeps. They're criminals. But they play soccer, and I love soccer, and I love sports, and I went to the World – I mean, I want the World Cup here, so I'm not urinating.
I know Italy won the Euro thing.
They did, much to my chagrin, much to the chagrin of all of England and parts.
Yeah, I know
of
that. That's about all I know about soccer.
Well, it was a big soccer week, right? But right. You do know that, like, our reputation, right, on the world stage and where we are. What it would mean for Baltimore to get a World Cup bid. As I'm sitting out there melting and I'm wondering, you people clearly don't make good decisions with press conferences. This is the dumbest thing I've ever done. It was a complete waste of my time going, just so you know. Like,
Where was it?
It was on the field at the stadium.
At M&T?
Yes.
Is that where they're going to play?
Yes.
Okay.
If they get the bid.
Got it.
Now, here's the thing that's amazing.
They'll sell out that place if they get the World Cup.
Oh, no. I mean, it'll be the biggest thing ever.
It'll be crazy. All the hotels will be full.
It'll be a Super Bowl here for 2 weeks. Like, it would be the greatest thing we've ever had here. And that's no disrespect to the Pope. That's no disrespect to Keith Urban when we screwed up, when Angelo's effed up everything and kept our celebration. That celebration would have been the biggest night in the history.
Yeah, sure.
Would have been the biggest night of our lifetime in this city. Light City, the celebration, like all the things ever happened. When I think about what it would have represented for downtown Baltimore to have the parade after the parade that was taken away by this goon that owns the baseball team, it breaks my heart. But if we were to actually get World Cup games here, it would be the biggest thing we've ever done as a city. And I don't think people even realize that. Like, I mean, and you're a sports fan and you sort of said, well, they'll sell it out. No, they, like, if France plays here on Thursday against Tunisia and Spain plays here against Korea on the following Tuesday and Germany plays against Ivory Coast on the following Friday, like, if that actually happens here, I don't think people here have any idea how amazing it, because we're not Kansas City, because we're on the train line, we're on the bus line, we're on 95. People would set up over at the Marriott and live here for a month. It would be unbelievable. It really would be.
Yeah. And that's World Cup. I mean, again, I'm not a soccer guy, but I understand the World Cup, and I don't know what round we'd have here. Is that a first round? Is that a,
yeah, it would be the early round. They let more teams in the tournament now, so there's more games.
Okay.
Than there were 15 years ago. Yeah.
So it would absolutely be amazing, and I think it would be a great thing. I don't know why they didn't hold the press conference in the club level.
Leonard.
In July.
I'm 53. I've been doing this a long, long time, right? Like, that stadium's been there since 1998. I wore jeans thinking, like, it has to be in the club level. It's 11:30
right.
On a 97 degree day.
Absolutely.
I don't want to say what I was thinking. Are you guys dumb? I mean, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? So nonetheless, I went, it was terrible, but I hope we get the bid and I'm all for it. And I did get to see Pete Carinji. I did get to meet Ali Van Paris. If anybody knows her, what's that?
Was the mayor?
I did say hello to the mayor. I said hello to Dick Cass, who I had a meeting with afterward, but we were so melted, we didn't have the meeting. We were like, literally, I was like, we're not. I mean, I was soaking wet. I mean, it was insane.
Right.
Well, and they gave us no information.
You weren't wearing your Raskin Global shirt.
I would have sweat. I would have had Pitt State. You wouldn't let me representing you like that.
That's my point. No.
I would say this, Leonard. The amazing part about it was so full of manure, all of it. It was so political and press conference-y that literally you being a little bit of the neophyte, you know, asking Nasty Nestor about the World Cup, like, they didn't give me any information. Like, they didn't even show who we're competing with, when the date would be, who's in, who's out. I heard that Montreal's out. Like, I haven't done the research on it. I really haven't. Like, I don't even know whether it's Kansas City, Dallas, Denver. I'm assuming it's all of them. I'm assuming Mexico City and Vancouver and Toronto are in on this, right? Like, it's a North American kind of thing, right?
I'm assuming
Atlanta's going to get games. LA's going to get games. New York's going to get games. Chicago's going to get games. Dallas is going to get games. Houston's probably going to get games because they have domes, right? They can turn the air on in June and play a 78-degree game, right? Like, 72-degree game.
Yeah.
And Minnesota's got a dome. So I'm assuming the dome places.
Indianapolis.
Correct. So all the places that are in line in front of us, Phoenix, right? All these places that get Super Bowls,
Final Fours,
they get Garth Brooks concerts, although we got one of those.
We got Garth Brooks. I'm not a fan.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in
Brooks. Hey, I'm not a country music fan.
That's why
country.
I hang out with you. That's
country
why I like
music.
You.
I can go without, you know, I'm not a big fan of the opera either.
The more I think we don't have a – this speaks to Republicans and Democrats. We have more in common than we think we do. We really do.
Absolutely.
You know, we really do.
Absolutely.
But I would say this. I just laid that out for you, right? I laid out Seattle. Let's go through the cities we're competing with, right? And I don't even know, but in my mind, and I will Google it. Seattle, LA, Arizona, Dallas, Houston, Kansas City, Chicago, Minnesota, Atlanta. I haven't gotten to New York. Haven't gotten to Gillette Field and Bob Kraft's money. Haven't talked about Atlanta, Miami, Tampa. So that's what we're competing with. Now, not all of those cities are in. Some of those cities didn't put together like a real bid.
Anything.
And some of them have backed out. Some of them did not have the political, you know, like San Diego lost their football team. They're not in the running to get the World Cup anymore. Right. So there are certain places that don't want it, but I also know Monterrey, Mexico, and Mexico City want it. And I would think Vancouver wants it. I would think Toronto wants it. I knew Montreal wanted it. But this press conference should be there to educate me, not to use me as a prop to stand up and ask a stupid question, which I refused to do soaking wet while I had pit stains in my red, white, and blue. I wore red, white, and blue. I just wore like a red, white, and blue American motif. Because the one thing I know about this, Leonard, and this is one thing I can't educate you about, okay? So you don't know anything about soccer, but here's the deal. If you get the bid, if you win the bid, which in other words, if you bring $100,000 bags of money to these creeps in Switzerland, you get the bid. When you get the bid, your country automatically qualifies. Right? So you don't – remember, we didn't get into the World Cup last time because we sucked. Right. We got our ass kicked down in Costa Rica, right? Right. So we didn't even get in the tournament. So the one thing I know about 2026 wearing red, white, and blue is we're in. We're in. Right now there's some 14-year-old kid kicking a soccer ball somewhere that's going to be playing for our team. probably an academy somewhere in Florida, right? But like that's the World Cup. Like it would be so good for our country, man. It would be so good for our city. Like, and I don't know if we really have a chance to have a bid or not. What I understand this to be, Leonard, and this is the me being real with you, is that it's a little bit of a circle jerk that if you don't get the games, France will bring their team here and practice here and live here and then bring 14,000 fans here, right? That will go to the game in New York. We'll go to the game in Atlanta. We'll fly to the game in Chicago, but we'll live in Baltimore. That Baltimore will be a host a city. A place for people to live and train and practice, right? So that's the booby prize that you hope you get.
Is it a Baltimore ask or a Baltimore Washington?
It is a Maryland ask. That's why Boyd Rutherford, our Republican lieutenant governor, he was there. I was wondering why Uncle Larry wasn't there because Uncle Larry doesn't think much of Baltimore, right? It turns out Boyd Rutherford's a big soccer fan. Or at least purported himself to be. He talked about Man City and like, you know, he had a little men in suits.
Some soccer.
Yeah. He did a little soccer dance a little bit. So he likes soccer. What I understand is our stadium is more equipped to play soccer games than FedEx is. From a grass standpoint, well, whatnot.
That place is a hole. Who wants to go there? It's the worst. It's the worst. One road in, one road out. I can't stand that.
Raskin Global will invest money and treat you right. Leonard's always treated me right, even though he doesn't know a lot about soccer. He loves football. And hey, when's your kid going back to Ohio State? When's Maryland getting their butts kicked 70-7 this year?
We got a month. He goes back August 14th. So he's got one more month at home. He's hanging out at the beach this next week and spending some time at the beach. And
that's what I would do if I were your kid. If I were your kid, I'd be at the beach.
Yeah, I'll be home working so he can hang out at the beach.
Do you remind him of this or just my audience?
Oh, I remind him all the time and he doesn't thank me. No, no, he's a good kid. He says, you know, it's good you go to work, Dad, so I can go to the beach. He's happy about it.
Columbus, Ohio. Tell everybody what you do in the American dream. Give them a little speech. And because we are, you know, we're into this summer doldrums and like all that. And I know we talked a little bit about like saving for a beach vacation or saving for, you know, something that's special. And I think that's your role on the program is to remind people just save some money, save for a rainy day. That's what your mother told you, right?
No doubt. You got to save some money. You got to budget. You got to know where you spend it. You got to know where you blow it. You got to make a decision to pay yourself first. You got to save money because you want to do things. You want that American dream. You know, what is the American dream? I was talking to a gentleman just the other day. He said, it's as old as I can remember. It's having a house and having it paid off and having a great family and taking them on vacation and enjoying life and helping the kids have a better life than you had. It's about helping the next generation have more. I said, sounds great. I said, well, what do you want out of this? If you had all the money you could have, if you had no limits on cash, what would it matter?
I would have more gold watermelon is what I would do right now. That's what
there
I would
you go.
I would there find go, a way to have gold watermelon in the winter.
There you go. So I said, what's important? You know, what's your purpose? What's your value proposition in life? You know, how many, here's a good one. How many families have a family mission statement? Like, what's important to us as a family? And what I know is the families that I work with and the people that have, and this is not anything against, you know, people that don't have money, but the people that have more money have a mission. They have a driven purpose for the money. They do things together as a family. They travel as a family. They eat dinner together as a family. They give to charity as a family. They understand the values that are important to them. It's not just, I'm going to go to the baseball game or a football game and drink a beer and hang out with the guys. It's, I'm going to go to the baseball game with my family. It's going to be an event for the family. Now, yeah, I'm going to do things with my buds, but I'm going to do things with the family. It's not that I want to go on vacation alone. I want to go on vacation with the family. It's what's important to that unit, and saving money, investing money, protecting your family, protecting your wealth. That's what we're all about. We're about protecting, saving, growing, enjoying what it is that money brings, and understanding how to do that as efficiently as possible. Not making the mistakes that the financial institutions would tell you are the right things to do with your money. There's a lot of information out there, and you've got to pick through it all and figure out, you know, what's the best thing for you to do with your money. And it's not easy. There's more information than there's ever been, and you got to understand what to do. And that's what we do. We've been doing it for almost 36 years. We understand what to do with money. We understand the laws around money, the economics of money, and we help people make prudent decisions to have their American dream, to do the things they want to do in their life, whatever that is. That's what we're about.
I appreciate you pep talking me, because, you know, as I was sitting at the Springsteen show, I thought, you know, this is why I do this, right? When you're sitting on the beach, yeah, you're like, this is why I do this. When you're sitting at that ball game, whether, you know, whatever it is, having that $14 beer, you're like, this is why I do it. So I appreciate you doing what you do. We'll stay in touch. I'll visit with you next week. Hey, we're this close to getting football. I mean, one more week, and then I'm doing a little vacay, and then I'm come back, and we're crab caking, football in Vegas and Kansas City, and, you know, all of that stuff. So, and you'll
it's
be
coming. Over. It's coming.
It's coming right around the corner. He is Leonard Raskin. You can find him at RaskinGlobal.com. You can also find him at a Baltimore Positive each and every week. He comes on. We have a little bit of fun, talk about life a little bit, but more importantly, you know, the serious issues as well there for you. You can find him and all the education you need at RaskinGlobal.com. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Snapchat, anywhere you are. Barry Glassman from Harford County up in Baltimore Positive. We had a crab cake at Barrett's up on the Pike in Bel Air with him. We had Stuart Pittman down in Anne Arundel County. I know some folks didn't know G&M restaurants in Anne Arundel County, but we had a chat with John Zulis, who was the owner over there as well, and had that delicious crab cake. And next week, my home away from home, Dan Spears Point. I call it Dundalk. We annex that, but it's too close to Patapsco. We'll be at Costas with Johnny O next week, and then Brandon Scott over at Coco's after we get back from our Maryland crab cake tour in August. We're going all sorts of places. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.